We get started. We'll call the roll.
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Segura. Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Height.
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc.
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead.
Here.
Mr. Watkins.
Here.
Mr. Carter.
Here.
Mr. Bradbury. And Secretary Harris.
Here.
My normal roll sheet.
Good morning. Call to order the Lease Review Committee, and our designees at the table are Mr. Heck and Mr. Bradbury. You want to make a presentation, sir?
I sure will. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Bradbury and I are here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,437 active leases covering nearly 599,000 acres. G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 92 leases covering approximately 20,000 acres. We have four leases to discuss in more detail today. Let's start with Lake Rackesee Field. ExxonMobil Corporation as our lessee. State lease 1450, 1451, 1480, and 14589. Committee last reviewed these leases on May 11, 2016. The board adopted the committee's recommendation that ExxonMobil Corporation be granted until June 1st, 2016 to submit their partial release proposal for the staff to review. By letter dated June 1st, 2016, ExxonMobil has identified and proposed among the above referenced leases acreage to be released. Included along with the letter was a map depicting the proposed acreage to be released. Exxon estimates the acres to be approximately 1,900 acres, and Exxon also requests that they be granted sufficient time to prepare and execute the partial release. The staff is recommending accepting Exxon's partial release offer and grant Exxon until October 1st, 2016 to prepare and execute the partial release. That concludes my portion. Are there any questions?
I assume that there should be a motion to accept the staff's recommendation. Do I have a motion? Mr. Arnold and Ms. LeBlanc, any opposition to the motion to approve same? Without opposition, passes. Thank you. Going to force majeure, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Mr. Hike, members of the board, good morning. The first item, the staff is requesting that you remove the first item on the agenda. This was a board resolution dated October 13, 2004, granting authority to the staff to negotiate, draft, and advertise force majeure amendments without prior board approval. The staff is still trying to clarify whether or not this is actually covered by a later resolution, which is the formal force majeure policy in 2005. Therefore, we're asking that you remove this from the agenda for the time being, and we'll take it up at a future date if it needs to be rescinded.
I assume you would need a motion for that to take it off the agenda. Is there a date in the future, sir, that you all would be considering to bring this back to us for a review?
Yes, sir. The plan, I won't give you a board meeting. It will be probably the January meeting after hurricane season is over, after we have a lease form. Our plan was to revisit a lot of these affected resolutions that are associated, not only the force majeure, but we'll be amending shut-in language, which will be different. So we'll be looking at other
shut-in language different from what?
Prior lease forms and such. So we'll be looking at amending
anticipating of changing some language in the proposed lease form as it relates to shut-in?
No, sir. We're going to change policies out there that reference amending leases with shut-in language. Since we're going to come out with new shut-in language with the new lease form, we'll be amending that also, just like with force majeure language differs from the existing policy. We're going to come out with a new policy to match amending and including that new language.
Let me ask you this, sir. Subcommittee meeting we had sometime, last week or so, mm-hmm. There was some suggested changes by you to remove a certain phrase from the proposed new lease form as it relates to force majeure, correct?
Yes, there's a recommendation by the staff to remove certain language, yes, sir.
Is that part and parcel of the requests that you're making today?
No, sir.
It's not.
Whatever the final language that comes up from the lease form, when we redo the force majeure policy in the future, that language will parallel and reflect the approved language now. Right now we're working off a 2005 policy, so we're going to just update a whole bunch of things later in the year.
You hear a motion of approval?
Remove the item?
To remove that item. Move. Secretary moves. Mr. Chairman seconds. Any opposition to the request to remove item one from the agenda? Any opposition from the public? Without objection, so done. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. The second item is a request by the staff to rescind a board resolution dated May 9th, 1973, waiving the requirements to make shut-in payments and in-lieu royalty payments for gas wells while leases were under a force majeure condition, and it formed a flood committee for the recognition of force majeure events. The staff is recommending that we rescind this because it contradicts the 2005 policy, so to clean up the books, we're going to ask that be removed. Rescinded.
Sir, has the board been presented with a copy of that policy?
Which one?
The one we're talking about right now.
Yes, you have a copy in your book, sir.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay. News to me.
I mean, it was a 1973 resolution.
This policy has been superseded by a 2005 policy, correct?
That's correct.
So it's no longer enforced to begin with?
It's no longer enforced, so to prevent confusion, we're trying to clean up the books.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
Second?
Second.
Any objection to that motion from the board? Any objection from the public? Comments from the public? Without objection.
So okay. The third item is newer business. BAS Production LLC requested recognition of a force majeure affecting State Lease 3541 due to flooding, causing a rig evacuation, preventing them from completing downhole reworking operations for the period of November 1st, 2015 through February 16th, 2016. The staff was actually working with them at the time, and we had been notified, and there was a question about lease maintenance that we cleaned up, and that's why we're making this report now instead of a few months ago. But all those matters are cleaned up, so this is the staff recognized the force majeure, and we just want concurrence from y'all today.
Do I hear a motion to approve, same? Motion by Mr. Hollinshead, second by Mr. Watkins. Any objection from the board? Any comment from the public? Without objection, so approved.
Okay. The final item on this is a request by Ballard Exploration to requesting recognition of a force majeure condition after the fact affecting State Lease 18158 for the period of January 6, 2015 through April 7, 2015. Due to high winds preventing safe access with the reworking equipment to access the location to complete downhole reworking operations. Let's see, the staff received this request more than a year after the fact. the issue was discovered and there was a route sheet started on this property. And as a process of this, they reviewed and we have determined that it appears there was a force majeure situation. They were originally forced to move off location due to high winds, and then they had high winds all the way up until the April time before they could get back on location, which caused them to have a gap of greater than 90 days in their continuous operations. Recognition of this will keep the lease full force in effect, and it is on and producing still to this day. And the staff is recommending that y'all recognize the force majeure after the fact from January 6th and to April 7th, 2015, and provide that Ballard amend the lease to include the current approved force majeure language, and then we'll proceed from there.
Let me ask you this. As it relates to force majeure, you know, basically the way I look at it, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but it's something that occurs while the lessee has the lease that just places that lessee in a position that they can't continue. And so they don't have an obligation to pay the royalties or whatever they're paying, right?
Well, since there was no production, yeah, they didn't have an obligation to make, or they didn't have the ability, or the situation didn't exist so they could make a shut-in payment to maintain it. They couldn't go out there and maintain it by any of the other terms of the operation. So the only thing is this is a year after the fact. That's the big thing, and that's why I'm bringing to the board's attention in this manner.
And I understand that. I guess my next question would be, what does the staff do with regards to confirming the fact that there was a force majeure? I mean, do you go out there and look at the well, or do you look at weather reports, or what information do you gather, and how do you gather it to determine that? Because that's,
well, the primary information is there's an initial statement of what occurs. In this case, there we're talking about high winds, so they provided weather reports. They provided information that affidavits. In fact, I even went to individuals that were the actual companies that did the work to confirm from them whether or not they couldn't get out there prior to that time, and we receive affidavits from various people. So depending on how complicated the issue is how far we dig into the matter and how much further. In this case here, we requested more affidavits that you couldn't do the work before this time. So and I even called the company, and I interviewed the people myself, and just to make sure and verify. I mean, it's a Reagan thing. Trust but verify everything.
Right. So there is a sense of investigation, if you will.
Yes, sir.
Is the file actually supplemented with your investigative work?
Yeah, I put my notes in there, sir.
Okay.
And I keep a separate journal on things for all things there are that I deal with, so I have other things. Plus, I have an email record that
So if someone questioned whether or not there was a true force majeure, the file would reflect what investigative work was done by the staff to determine that.
Yeah, the research that I did will be in a work folder.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any further?
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Is there a second? Mr. Hollingshead seconds. Is there any objection to the motion by the board? Any objection? Any comments by the public? Then the motion passes. Thank you.
Make a motion to adjourn. Nomination track. I'm sorry, lease review committee.
Yeah, motion to adjourn. Next committee.
Like to. I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee meeting. This time we'll have a roll call. Tom Arnold.
Present.
Paul Segura. Tom Harris.
Present.
Daryl Smith. Ted Hike.
Here.
Carol LeBlanc. Todd Hollinshead.
Here.
Robert Watkins.
Here.
Johnny Bradbury. Gregory Carter. We have a quorum, and I appoint Emile Fontenot to present the agenda.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen. Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise two tracts in the Official Journal of the State and in the Official Journal of the Parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the July 8, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received two nominations for advertisement. 21 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the September 14, 2016 mineral lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the September 9, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received 36 nominations for advertisement. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the September 14, 2016 mineral lease sale.
Thank you. I need a motion and second to accept staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Harris. Second.
Second
by Mr. Height. Thank you. Any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
And the final item deals with the readoption of non-exclusive seismic permit fees. You have before you in your packets an explanation of determining non-exclusive seismic permit fees by staff geologist Byron Miller, which is next to me. As stated in revised statute 3215, such fees shall be determined by the state mineral board at least every 12 months or more often as necessary. Mr. Miller would like to go ahead before we make our recommendation, explain some of the things in his reports that he's provided to you.
Hi, thank you. It is the duty of the board today to set the seismic permit fee. Staff is recommending that the board increase the fee from the current $10 per acre for state lands and water bottoms and increasing that fee to $15 per acre. In your packet, there is a report that justifies this recommendation. I'd like to walk through some of that report with you. Please bear with me as I use my makeshift stand to show some of the charts that are in your binder. I believe this is on page 3. This is the history of the seismic fees that have been set by this board. The legislation that we are currently operating under was adopted in year 2000, and in 2001 the board adopted a fee of $10 per acre for all state lands and water bottoms. That fee has not changed for 15 years. Right above that is the fee for state lands and water bottoms under the jurisdiction of the Wildlife and Fisheries. That fee was set at $15 back in 2005, and that fee also has not changed. Wildlife and Fisheries has recommended continuing the fee this year at the $15 rate. Our recommendation to you is to increase the state fee from $10 to $15 so that we will be at an equal rate to Wildlife and Fisheries. A couple more points, excuse me. When the statute was adopted in year 2000, the original language was that the board shall set the fee at least every 6 months or as often as necessary. And that statute was revised in 2008 to be every 12 months or as often as necessary. So the legislature at the time envisioned this fee would be much more dynamic and would change perhaps every few months, or at least you had the ability to change that fee often. Secondly, I'd like to point out that this $10 fee has been $10 for 15 years. Just the time value of money, the inflation value of the dollar, $10 in year 2001 is equal to $13.57 today. So if the board were simply to match the monetary value of the fee as it was set in 2001, you should consider increasing the fee at least to $13.57. The next chart, which is also in your binder, is this one. It's a comparison of the fees among all of the Gulf Coast states. This would give us a feel for what the market value is for a seismic permit fee. If we start in Texas, the General Land Office, the Texas GLO on your chart, that is often pointed to as the benchmark for the state of Texas, if you will, for their seismic fee. And they have their GLO has set their fee from at a rate of $1 to $5 per acre, depending on where your survey falls. However, if we broaden that view to include all state agencies or additional state agencies in the state of Texas, you'll see the University Lands, Texas University Lands, has their fee set at $20 an acre. Texas University Lands, they manage 2.1 million acres in West Texas, and it is a big oil and gas territory for the benefit of the universities. Texas A&M has their own personal seismic fee. They set their rate at $25 per acre. The Texas Department of Parks and Wildlife set their fee at $20 per acre, and even the city of Fort Worth has a seismic permit fee that they set at $25 per acre. So it would appear that the General Land Office is really the outlier here. They are the low ball fee, if you will, and it appears more like market value should lie somewhere in $20 to $25 range. As we move to Louisiana, this first fee in, under Louisiana State Lands, that is the fee we are talking about today. It is set to currently at $10. We would like to raise that to $15 to equal the wildlife and fisheries fee. I think you'll see even at that $15 level, it appears that we are still on the low end of what may be true market value. Louisiana State Parks, they charge $20 an acre. Louisiana school boards and police juries charge anywhere from $25 to $30 per acre. And private landowners in Louisiana typically get $25 per acre, although we do have reports of some landowners, small landowners in North Louisiana getting as low as $10. But that's why we have this larger portion here. Landowners are typically getting $25 per acre. Moving on, Mississippi. Mississippi charges $10 an acre for their seismic permit. However, they also have an application fee, plus they require a copy of the seismic data. Those are significant additional considerations. Louisiana does not have an application fee, and Louisiana does not require the data.
Sir, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
Is there a difference between non-exclusive and exclusive seismic? Would you tell us what the difference is?
Yes. The non-exclusive permit is issued administratively by staff. It just allows the contractor to go onto state lands and perform the survey. The exclusive agreement is a negotiated agreement that may include rights regarding leasing or excluding other contractors from coming in for a certain amount of time.
And is there a fee for the exclusive?
Yes, the exclusive is brought to the board. The board has to approve that after all the terms have been negotiated.
Is it similar to what you're proposing here?
The fees are different. I believe there's also a minimum set, correct? for royalties and price per
acre? Correct. The exclusive agreements typically go for $30 to $35 an acre, and they do include leasing rights or options.
Have you determined, or has the department determined, how much revenue would be forthcoming as a result of the increase?
Based on
history, I guess.
I'll answer that for you, Byron. The seismic permit fees, especially the non-exclusive, has been so erratic over the years. One year is very high, one year it's very low acreage, that I don't think we can make a reasonable determination.
But does the fees go into the, for lack of a better term, general coffers of DNR? I see. Thank you.
And another comment. Although the presentation is fantastic.
Sure.
When we issue a seismic permit, yes, non-exclusive, the state doesn't usually collect the $10 or $15 as proposed. We usually swap out for some information, correct?
Swap out what, sir?
I think he can explain better than I can. The data.
In the past, under the right circumstances in the right areas, yes, we have negotiated a decrease in the seismic fee in exchange for data. That has to come before the board to approve that. Our typical survey, though, has a smaller portion of state acreage involved, and that's usually the full fee, the full $10 per acre.
And when we do the data swap out, we usually get much more return.
Yes.
For the state to be able to.
The data is very valuable, and when we have those opportunities, we should pursue those, yes.
I'm sorry, I need to clarify one thing, Mr. Hike. We get 80% of the revenue on non-exclusive seismic permits. The law provides that 20% of it goes to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. So 80% goes into the fund that funds the board and the Office of Mineral Resources.
Is there a written policy with regards to this swap-off thing?
It comes before the board each time.
I understand that, but does the staff have a written policy which drives the swap-off issue?
No, we do not. If there is a large body of state lands or water bottoms in the survey, if it is in a relatively active area or even a relatively unexplored area, we consider that to be a value to the state, and we would try to negotiate one of those agreements.
And a non-exclusive would mean that more than one seismic company could actually do work in a particular area.
That is correct. We can issue permits on top of permits, non-exclusive to whichever company wants to use that.
Thank you.
Also, to answer your first question, in Table 1 in your, I believe it's probably on the second page, in your binder, we've shown the number of permits that have been issued in the past 10 years, and the last column there shows how much monies we collected from those permits. And it does vary from year to year, depending on where the particular shoot is, but it would be hard to quantify how much this fee increase would actually add to that. Back to Mississippi. Mississippi was $10 an acre plus. They get additional consideration.
Mr. Chairman, I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Muir.
Well, I was going to go a little more detail into the cost to industry and that sort of thing, but I'm following your lead, Mr. Hike. And before you vote, Emil needs to read it to the record.
Staff request recommendation.
I'm sorry, could you?
I'll make the official staff recommendation. If that's
to approve.
Yes, sir. Based on the information provided to you, the staff recommends that the State Mineral and Energy Board, hereinafter board, readopt and set a fee of $15 per acre or $1,000, whichever is greater, for non-exclusive seismic permits on lands under the jurisdiction of the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, that the board adopt and set a new fee of $15 per acre or $1,000,
whichever is greater, for non-exclusive seismic permits on all other state lands and water bottoms belonging to the state, that the board readopt a fee of $200 per line mile, or $1,000, whichever is greater, for 2D seismic permits on lands and water bottoms belonging to the state.
I so move for approval.
Motion by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Harris. Any public comment? Any more comment from the committee? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Byron. Good report.
Thank you, Byron.
And a motion and second to adjourn the committee. Motion by Mr. Harris, second by Ms. LeBlanc. Committee's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Harris?
Here.
Neal?
Here.
Darrell Smith? Mr. Hike?
Here.
Carol LeBlanc? Todd Hollenshead?
Here.
Myself here. Robert? John Bradbury? Brad Carter?
Here.
We have a quorum. Ms. Rachel Newman, you want to start your report?
Yes, sir. Thank you. As of June 30, 2016, field audit collections totaled $1,125,306. This includes $904,237 in exceptions, $171,795 in interest, and $49,274 in penalties. The current number of open royalty audits is 64. Royalties collected to date for June 2016 totaled $12,935,608. Fiscal year to date, royalties collected totaled $210,979,424 as compared to last fiscal year's, which was $432,915,449. Monthly state royalty reports submitted in June totaled 348. This included 129 for oil, 164 for gas, and 55 for plant products. Item number one on the agenda is a request to exclude Daiasu Oil and Gas Company Incorporated from the fiscal year 2017 audit schedule. Daiasu filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on June 7, 2016. They have been a payer of record since April of 1989. Total royalty paid is $1,325,300. Daiasu has never been field audited. Over the last 10 years, the company has paid $91,604 in royalty. Staff recommends that the audit of Daiasu Oil and Gas Company Incorporated be removed from the fiscal year 2017 audit schedule because the risk is low given the passage of time and immaterial amount paid.
Question, Mr. Chairman?
No questions.
I have a question, please. In a situation like this, does the state file a proof of claim in the bankruptcy?
I think that would be a question for the AG. I'm not certain.
We should. Why would we not?
Mr. Linto, would you like to come up to the mic and address that?
Rick Heck, I'm the attorney.
Hi, Chris from the Attorney General's Office, Chris Lento. Typically what we'll do is when there's a bankruptcy, our first motion will be a motion to lift stay so that the bankruptcy court will allow us to continue auditing. In a lot of these cases, it triggers an automatic audit of any companies going into bankruptcy. Once that's granted, that will give us a certain amount of time to compile a claim and submit that to the bankruptcy court.
But here, she's recommending that there be no audit. So what do you do?
We take all of our direction from whether or not there's outstanding monies due. So if there is, if they do have us submit a claim, she'll forward that to Ryan, and we will submit the claim as an unsecured claimant.
So what are we going to do in this case?
I'll answer that. In this case, we don't believe any money is due, and we think that performing an audit to determine potential monies due would cost more than any amount we would identify, so we recommend not doing the audit and foregoing any potential claims. For example, if we found $100 in underpaid royalty, but it cost $1,000 to do the audit.
Well, I understand that. That's obvious. But the question I would have is whether or not a determination has been made as to whether or not the state is owed any money.
Mr. Hike, unfortunately, given the large number of bankruptcies we're seeing at this time and the reduced staff and Office of Mental Resources, we have to prioritize the audits that we do. We'd love to be able to audit all of them. It's just not.
Mr. Hike, I can speak to the Mineral Income Division. Whenever I receive a bankruptcy notice, I examine any outstanding issues either on their royalty reporting side, including outstanding billings that they may have, and any prior audit history. So that is factored in before we make a determination. And then, of course, we go through and we look how long it's been since they've been a payer of record, what they've paid over the last few years, which in this case, I mean, in 10 years, they've only paid us about $92,000. So given that long, long passage of time, I mean, our audit would have to go way back.
I see.
It's just considered low risk.
Let me ask this of Chris. Is there no way that the state could be in a priority position in a bankruptcy as a secured?
We're actually examining a few options. Some of the options that we've discussed are similar to Texas. Texas, in its lease, has an agreement in the contract where the company agrees that the lease will be filed in the parish where it and recorded, and it creates a security interest. And so what that does, it allows Texas, by both statute and by the terms of the contract, to be a priority creditor. They go straight to the front of the line. That's something that we've discussed.
That's very important.
Yeah, we've discussed that. We're also working on a motion based on the differences in Louisiana law that since minerals only are reduced to possession at the time of production, at when they hit the surface, that the royalty is actually not part of the estate, and that at the moment the oil is produced, the state is owed that royalty. It never goes into the bankruptcy estate, similar to a theory that they're just collecting that royalty and submitting it to us the way a company submits sales taxes. So they're acting as an agent on behalf of the state. And what that would allow us to do is basically segregate all of our royalty payments from the bankruptcy estate. They would never go into that. We would just ask the court to release those funds to us. So if we're working on trying to get that motion, if we're submit that in every bankruptcy and the court actually agrees with us, we may not have to go through the bankruptcy process for royalty payments.
But in the meantime, as you well know, this board is struggling with trying to adopt a new lease.
Correct.
And it would seem to me that, and I see Mr. Jim over there, his brain is rolling. It seems to me that this is an appropriate time to maybe include some language, like you made reference to,
yes, sir.
Texas has,
yes, sir.
In our new lease form, so that at least we have that type of protection. To me, at least, it just seems to me that the natural resources of the state of Louisiana should be in a preferred position in a bankruptcy. That was the first question that I had. I don't know why it should be considered an unsecured debt.
We definitely could mirror the
Can you submit to this board some suggested language with regards to that so that we can consider that prior to the adoption of a new lease? Could you do that?
I certainly could.
Mr. Hike, I would really appreciate if you made that into a motion.
Okay, I'll put in a form of a motion. Well, a motion to, first, motion to adopt the recommendations of Ms. Newman, and I so move.
I second the
any objection? Any objection to that?
Ms. Boulay?
Yeah, I don't want to be out of order here, but I don't want to reference his motion, but I would like to ask Mr. Lento, in our current bankruptcy cases, are we having, can you characterize how the courts are handling OMR's requests?
They generally will lift the stay in every case, or the company will call us and work with us and allow a limited audit, for example, while they're getting all their ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. So it has not been an issue that the court has denied our request or the company has fought us. They realize they need to be audited. Mm-hmm. What they're trying to do is just buy themselves time because they're assembling data and trying to get everything get on the right side of the bankruptcy court.
Right.
So courts generally have granted our requests.
Mm-hmm.
In Chapter 11 bankruptcies, where another company may come in and purchase all the assets, they typically realize that they have to play ball with the state. Mm-hmm. And so nobody's fighting us on the amounts that they owe to cure, because they realize they're going to have to continue a relationship. The only place where I see us being at risk is in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, where a company may come in, purchase the assets solely to liquidate the company and take a profit, and they could potentially not have to pay our claims. That's where we're at the most risk.
So all the Chapter 11s that we're dealing with currently within OMR, the courts are recognizing our debt, and we're working through that.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
So your question, your language that you're going to recommend is going to be specific to Chapter 7 and Chapter 11 to distinguish the two?
What it would do is create a lien similar to what a bank does. They would actually file a lease or a memo of the lease in the parish where it's signed. Okay. And so here it would be East Baton Rouge Parish, and it would be public record. And it would go on, it would burden that property. The problem that has been raised with that is that may affect a company's ability to get funding down the road when they know that the state is a priority creditor. But, you know, Texas is doing it, so it's working there.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to the effect that that the attorney prepare some suggested language to be considered by the Mineral Board, similar to the state of Texas with regards to making the state of Louisiana a secured creditor in a bankruptcy. I may not be articulating exactly, but I think you get the gist, and that's the tenor of my motion. I'd ask for a second.
Do you have a second? Emil, second. Any opposition? Any comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved.
Thank you very much.
I believe there's also a motion the floor with this. I believe, Ms. Watkins, there's also a motion on the floor approving the recommendations that we did not vote on yet.
So I have
an item one. Right.
Harris. Any opposition? Any comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Item number two is a request to exclude Maxis Exploration Company from the fiscal year 2017 audit schedule. Maxis filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on June 17th of 2016. They were a payer from April of 89 through May of 95. Total paid during that time was $15,487,726. They were audited for the period of August 89 through April 94, and they paid $15,945 as a result of that audit. Staff recommends that the audit of Maxis Exploration Company be removed from the fiscal year 2017 audit schedule because no royalty is at risk.
Have a motion to...
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Questions?
Second.
Any comments? Any opposition? Comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Item number three is a recoupment request from Ridgewood Energy Corporation for an overpayment of $55,000. $55,046. The state lease number involved is 235. For the sales month of October of 2013, they paid oil and NGL royalties based on an incorrect volume. Staff has reviewed the documentation and verified the overpayment. We do recommend that Ridgewood Energy Corporation be issued a check for the overpayment of royalties since the company is no longer a payer.
I have a motion to accept.
So moved. This is up staff's recommendation.
Second by Mill. Any comments, opposition?
Excuse me, what is the amount? Am I missing it here?
$55,046.36.
It should be listed on the agenda.
How is it that the company's going to overpay?
It's for a variety of reasons. A lot of times there's adjustments that come in, and they don't, they're paying us on estimates each month because they may not have all the information available. So we have adjustments later on. It could have been an internal audit. You know, it's tough times. They could be looking for every penny. But if it is legitimate, I mean, we do audit to determine whether or not it is legitimate and if the amount is accurate.
Is that a common occurrence?
It's fairly common. It's a lot more common for them to make adjustments that are less than the threshold amount that comes before the board. Just regular monthly adjustments, that is extremely common.
So is there a cap that you have to get board approval for?
Yes, sir. It's $25,000 now. It was prior to this, it was $10,000.
Comments from the public? Motion to second. Mr. Hike. And the motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passed.
Item number four is a request to place TC Oil Company LLC on demand for audit exceptions which were the result of a field audit. This was the company's first audit. The audit period covered May of 07 through December of 13. The first billing was sent to TC on June 15, 2016 in the amount of $26,373. Payment was received for that amount on June 22nd of 2015. Interest and penalty was subsequently billed on September 9th of 2015. Interest totaling $11,324 was paid on October 10th of 2015. Penalty was not paid and a written waiver request has not been received. Therefore, a second billing letter for penalty alone was sent on December 10th, 2015 for $8,917. A pre-demand was sent February 10th, followed by a second pre-demand on April 27th. A certified receipt indicates receipt by TC Oil Company, LLC, of the latter third billing. Although there have been several attempts by staff to resolve the outstanding audit issues, it has been difficult to get cooperation from TC Oil Company, LLC. Their lack of attentiveness and desire to resolve this audit is evident. The AG's office is in agreement with this request.
I have a question. TC Nuda, would this come before the board today?
I emailed, I've called, we sent them notifications. Yes.
Is there anyone present to represent TC Oil? Okay. I make a motion to place in demand.
Yeah.
Second.
Do I get a second? Mr. Hike? Any comments? Any opposition? Comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Item number 5 is a proposal to rescind the resolution dated October 9th, 1985, regarding lessee's unauthorized recoupment of overcharges from future royalties in accordance with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission orders 93, 93A, and 399A, 399B. Staff recommends rescinding this resolution as FERC no longer regulates the natural gas industry nor the pricing of natural gas.
Any questions? I get a motion.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second. Your comments? Mike, you have a comment?
It's a second.
Comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 6 is a proposal to rescind the resolution dated October 9th, 1991, with reference to resolutions also dated October 9th, 1985, and whereby the state reiterates its position regarding royalties due on gas contract buyouts as a result of a minerals management service audit. Staff recommends rescinding this resolution as MMS no longer exists and gas contracts are no longer regulated by FERC.
I got a motion.
Motion.
Mr. Harris, second. Any comments? Comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Item number 7 is a proposal to rescind a resolution dated December 13, 1989, regarding royalty to the state in relation to FERC Order 94A and B. It allows reimbursements to sellers for gathering and compression of natural gas. Staff recommends rescinding the resolution, again, as FERC no longer regulates this.
Motion.
Make a motion to substantial recommendation.
Second. Mr. Hollingshed, any comments? Comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Item number 8 is a staff report to the committee that the election for July 2016 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. No action is required on that item.
I don't have that in my book.
Well, you may be looking at the recommendation.
Oh, this one. I'm sorry. I get a motion. Mr. Harris, a second. Mr. Hollingshed, any comments? Any comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. I think that's all, Ms.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
I have one general question for Ms. Yu.
Yes, sir.
Typically, how far in advance of our mineral board does the staff meet to make the recommendations to the mineral board as it relates to your area of involvement?
The entire staff of OMR meets 1 week prior. I meet internally with my staff usually a few days before the big OMR meeting.
I got you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rachel.
Mr. Hike, the chairman asked me to mention that the OMR staff agenda review meeting is the Tuesday prior, 1 week prior to the board meeting, and if board members would like to participate or call in to get additional information, they're welcome to do so.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to call the Legal and Title Controversy Committee agenda to order. As I understand, Mr. Segura is not here, and Mr. Arnold has asked me to handle this portion of it. And so, roll call. Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Segura? Mr. Harris?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Hike is here. Ms. LeBlanc?
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead?
Here.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
Mr. Bradbury? Mr. Carter? Got a quorum, and the presentation will be made by Mr. Fontenot. And get it rolling, sir.
Thank you, sir. Item number one is a request for final approval of an operating agreement by and between the State Mineral and Energy Board and Achilles Oil, LLC, to create an operating track for the exploration and development of oil, gas, and or condensate and other liquid hydrocarbons, which proposal allocates to the state a state production interest equal to 18.75% before payout, increasing to 19.25% after payout in and to the operating track, covering a portion of former state lease number 10100, containing 83.71 acres, more or less, situated in Concordia Parish, Louisiana, which further particulars have been stipulated in the instrument and has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item number 16-22. Staff recommends final approval of the said operating agreement.
Fontenot, could you give us an explanation of what drives these? What drives the need for these operating agreements?
One of the reasons is that the operator may have drilled in an area and formed a unit, and prior to the drilling, no one recognized the unleased state acreage as being claimable water bottoms. Having said that, and under statute 30:209, the board is given authority under that situation and many other situations to consider the operating agreement. I think the plain Jane thing is that this company has spent a lot of money, and it's like it could be the situation has placed a target on their back, and this is an avenue to allow us to work with that company who has invested millions and millions of dollars in just instead of just throwing it open. But there again, that's dictated through the statutes that were mentioned.
Mr. Hollinshead, Mr. Bradbury is our coordinator on operating agreements, and if you have any questions about each specific one, he can answer those.
Okay. No, thank you. I think that was an explanation that I understand.
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation for final approval of this operating agreement.
Is there a second? Mr. Watkins, second. Any opposition from the board? Any comments from the public? Without objection, approved.
Item number two is a request for final approval of an operating agreement by and between the State Mineral and Energy Board and CTR Oil, Inc. to create an operating track for the exploration and development of oil, gas, and or condensate and other liquid hydrocarbons, which proposal allocates to the state a state production interest equal to 20% before payout, increasing to 21% after payout, and into the operating track, covering a portion of former state lease 4477, containing 4.484 acres, more or less, situated in Catahoula Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This has been duly advertised, and it's going to appear on today's docket as item 16-24. Staff recommends final approval of the said operating agreement.
I'll make a motion to approve SAC recommendation for final approval of the operating agreement with CTR Oil.
Second.
Any objection? From the board, any comment from the public? Without objection, approved. And I'm glad to turn it over to my friend, Mr. Segura.
All right. Item three.
Yes, sir. It is a request for final approval of the settlement and release bond between the state of Louisiana and the Plaquemines Parish government, whereas said parties have reached a settlement in the matter entitled Hellas Oil and Gas, LLC versus State of Louisiana, et al. It's at in docket number 50-061, Division B, 25th Judicial District Court in Plaquemines Parish, affecting state lease number 17620, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. It has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item number 16-25. Staff recommends final approval of the said settlement.
Make a motion for final approval of the settlement.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Watkins.
I got a question.
Watkins, I have a question by Mr. Hyde.
What is the result of that settlement?
92.5% to the state and 7.5% to PPG.
Why would you not put that in the notes? I mean, can you put that in the notes?
Yes, sir. It's an oversight. We'll be happy to do that.
It's just that, you know, if there's a settlement, we need to know what it's about.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
My oversight.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries. Item four, I believe, is the
item. Yes, sir. Item four is a report to the Mineral and Energy Board presented by Mr. James Divitt, DNR Legal Division, regarding 2016 legislation.
Members, you should have a spreadsheet, copy of a spreadsheet with summary notes about legislation we thought would be of interest to the board. And just to let you know, I have with me Daniel Henry, who's an attorney for the Office of Conservation. They have graciously provided their time, and we have their other counsel, John Adams, here as well, to so that if you have any questions about conservation-related issues, they're here to provide that information. So the first bill, which is it turned into Act 286, recreated the Department of Natural Resources through the year 2020. So that's a five-year process that occurs regularly, and they deemed our agency significant enough to keep going for another 5 years. Act 248 extended the state's surface water resources program for another 2 years to 2018, and I bring that to your attention because the cooperative endeavor agreements that the state signs by statute is approved by this board. So if any changes are made to that form, you'll see it. Act 634 deals with financial security for applicants for drilling permits, and the highlights of that are that for wells, land-based wells of less than 3,000 feet of depth, the financial security is going to be $2 a foot, and the regulations that were enacted by conservation last September had called that $7 a foot. So that's really the most significant change that occurred as a result of that. And then I see that there's also a waiver of financial security for wells, orphaned wells that are subsequently transferred to another operator, and if that operator has a plugging agreement with the Office of Conservation.
Mr. DeWitt?
Yes, sir.
Does that need to be somehow, at least by statute, mentioned in the lease?
Well,
new lease form?
You know, we did discuss at our subcommittee meeting.
We did.
We had a date that locked in conservation regs as of September 2015, and we discussed removing that
that date deadline and letting our financial security and our lease ride with the Office of Conservation. And so that will be an ongoing discussion, I'm sure, before we make a final decision on it.
I want to ask you again.
Go ahead. I didn't answer.
You may have, but just didn't sink in. But let me see if I can ask it. A question to you would be whether or not we should make reference to
the statute
Act 634 in our lease.
I would recommend not, but I think we may want to have a full discussion of whether we should.
Okay.
I think that what we do have right now is a reference to the conservation regs as setting the standard for financial security for our leases. We don't necessarily reference any statutes, but we certainly could.
Yeah. Well, why would we? Why would this board divest itself of the authority, if you will, of whatever the financial security is necessary for our natural resources? Why would we divest us of that right to another, to an office?
That's why you guys make the hard policy decisions.
Why would this board divest itself of that authority to an office that is not, you know, this board is represented and appointed by the governor as opposed to an office which is not represented or rather responsible, if you will, directly to the public? Why would we do that?
I'd like
to address that.
Sure.
I do take a little bit of exception to that characterization of the Office of Conservation. The Commissioner of Conservation is appointed to his position just as we are. Secondly, as for why we want to do that, I don't really believe that it's in the state's best interest to make drilling on state lands more onerous than drilling anywhere else. That there are financial security requirements in place that protect private landowners and the state of Louisiana itself, and I believe those to be appropriate and protective.
I don't disagree with that, Mr. Secretary. I understand that the Commission of Conservation is appointed just like you are and just like I am, and I understand we don't want to make it any more onerous. But what I don't understand is, are you saying that you think that there should be a difference? Are you saying that Act 634 should not be in our lease form?
Oh, no, sir, not at all. Actually, what we have a meeting scheduled for this afternoon internally within Department of Natural Resources to look at all these bills, determine what actions are necessary as mandated by the legislature. And for this particular act, we will, the Office of Conservation will promulgate regulations consistent with the will of the legislature. So our lease form, my recommendation is that our lease form address and point to regulations, to rules that are in place at the time of the lease sale, just like every other drilling activity in the state.
I have a question. The financial security required in that act, is it a payment or is it a deposit? Is it
I think there's a
bond or
there's some? They have some options the way the it's set up now, and for instance, a specific
trust letter of credit
could be set up, which you put money in a separate account, or there's other, what other forms would you have, Daniel?
We have several different forms that you can use currently. We have you can pledge a certificate of deposit, you can use a performance bond, a letter of credit, or you can use a site-specific trust account, which is provided for by statute. And those are the options that we have in our rules today.
But it's meant that the payment, you can potentially get it back.
If you plug your wells,
if you do everything you've done, if you
perform site restoration, then essentially that money would go back to you.
Right. So it's not just a fee type thing. And it's required of everyone, regardless of whether you're state lands or on any.
All new drills are permit transfers of wells.
And paid through the Office of Conservation, right?
Not necessarily paid to. There are, as Daniel said, a number of different financial instruments that can be used, basically to ensure that the well is ultimately properly plugged in.
But the I'm just trying to understand. The permits are gotten through conservation, not...
If I can, this may be more of a generalization, but right. It's almost... It can be like an insurance policy to guarantee
right.
If a operator's wells do get orphaned, that we have the money with the Office of Conservation and the Oilfield Site Restoration Program to plug those wells.
Okay.
Daniel, could you clarify one thing about the site-specific trust accounts? They cannot be set up when the well is originally drilled, right? It requires a transfer?
I believe so under the current statute, yes.
Ms. Secretary, I guess I'm a little bit jaded with regards to regulations because... You know, I've attended some of these Administrative Practices Act where they're instituting certain rules and regulations that number one, are not very well attended, and number two, you know, it's driven by not necessarily what the majority of people are thinking as opposed to a select maybe staff member or group of staff members, and I just, it's just not quite as transparent as debating on the floor of the House sometimes, I guess. So that's what my natural prejudice is about, you know, rules and regulations.
But I guess, Mr. Hike and Secretary, or anyone, I'm not sure, I don't have a position of whether you put it in the lease or not, but I guess if at the time that you then apply for a permit, you're going to be given a checklist of everything that you're required to do, which this will be one of them, right? So it's not like you,
correct.
It would seemingly fall from the cracks that it wasn't in the lease. You're going to be required to do it in order to get your permit.
Be required anyways, and I think that's the point that the Secretary was trying to make, is that if this board decides to implement financial security requirements above and beyond what conservation currently has, then that would be the will of the board, and that's certainly within your discretion. But
right.
Conservation on new drills and transfers of wells, we already have financial security requirements in place.
And I appreciate the Secretary's explanation. I want you to understand that. I understand better. Thank you.
All right. Any further questions or discussion? Any public comment?
This is just
I'm sorry.
So there's no action needed by the board.
Were you finished reading the issues? I'm sorry.
Actually, no, we have quite a few more pages to go through.
Well, I knew there were pages, but I read through some of them. Some of them didn't necessarily apply.
And I had one more issue that Daniel pointed out to me on this bill was that even though it reduced the for shallow wells, reduced the financial security requirement, that it had a sunset for that in September 2017, allowing the commissioner to then go in and set it at whatever he thinks it should be after that point. So this is a just a year-long, basically, reprieve for shallow producers. So if we look at the next bill, It deals with the Oilfield Site Restoration Fund, which is the orphan well fund. It creates tiers for funding that based on the price per barrel of oil in the marketplace, whether it's $60 or less, between $60 and $90, and then greater than $90 per barrel. And so this is a fee that's collected per barrel and put into the orphan well fund. It also increased the fund balances necessary to suspend or resume fee collections. So when the fund hits $14 million, the fee is suspended, and then if it goes below $10 million, the fee is resumed. And it also addressed administrative costs. So the next one, which is Act 595, is kind of historic in that it's created a process to lift the oyster lease moratorium on state water bottoms. And I don't want to get into all the details of all that. There's a lot of history there, but it created about a four-year process for lifting that moratorium, which was put in place maybe 15 or more years ago. So I don't think you'll see anything right away, but over the next few years, you should see some effects as we have new leasing in areas, state water bottoms that haven't been had oyster leases. Next bill became Act 71, and it deals with membership on boards and commissions, and it removed a term limitation, which prohibited a person from serving more than 2.5 terms in 3 consecutive terms on an executive board or branch. Act 261, just for your information, created the Louisiana Energy State Prestige License Plate, so you may want to run out and go get one. And the fees go into the oil field site restoration fund. So that's the orphan well fund. HCR, that's House Concurrent Resolution 72, urged and requests the Commissioner of Conservation to develop and implement a pilot program to reduce the cost of plugging orphaned wells and decrease the number of wells on the list. Senate Bill 165 became Act 342, and it requires landowner notification when an operator transfers an oil and gas well and provides for some orphaned oil field sites so that the surface owner of lands on which a well is located now needs to be reported to the Office of Conservation in their application. And then there's a requirement that the Commissioner of Conservation notify the last operator of record of a site that is declared to be orphaned. So that as a landowner, we may be getting, the Office of Mineral Resources may be getting those notices. Next is Act 524. Provides relative to drilling unit agreements, eliminates a notification provision prior to actual spudding of the well and changed it to notification within 60 days of spudding the well. Act 582 dedicates the annual assessment on an operator who chooses not to plug an inactive well. It dedicates 50% of the annual assessment to the Oil and Gas Regulatory Fund, with the remainder being going into the Site Restoration Fund or the Orphan Well Fund.
Don't say that too long.
Interrupt me if you have any questions or comments. Act 526 removes, it authorizes transferring plugging credits in lieu of a bond with security in order to promote plugging orphaned oil field sites that have been inactive for at least 5 years. And it charged the Commissioner of Conservation to come up with specific requirements and procedures for issuing, transferring, and accepting such credits, creating sort of a bank, if you will. And then the last act is 583, which dealt with dedicating severance taxes credited to a site-specific trust for orphan well sites, right?
Correct.
Yeah, for orphan wells, site-specific trusts. So I believe you want to give a summary of that?
Essentially what this bill does is when a well is taken off the orphan list, the operator can put choose to put half the severance tax into an SSTA, and then the other half would actually go to revenue. But to allow them to essentially have an exemption on their financial security requirements.
That's basically it.
Any other questions or discussion? Any public comment? Thank you. Appreciate it. Item 5.
It's a request by Talos Gulf Coast Onshore LLC for a one-year extension from August 10, 2016 of authority to escrow funds derived from production on acreage, which is a title dispute between the state and LLNE in the 86 RESUA, State Lease 21092 number 1, which is in the West Bay Sandy Lane field, situated in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana, which authority was originally granted on July the 9th, 2014, extended on October the 8th, 2014, further extended on June the 10th, 2015, and on August the 12th, 2015, and on January the 14th, 2016, which extends through August the 10th, 2016. Talos is in compliance with OMR's deposits and SR 9 reporting requirements for escrowing authority, but negotiations are still ongoing, and additional time beyond the August 10, 2016 authority previously granted in Resolution 16-02-006 is needed. Staff recommends approval of Talos' request for a one-year extension and recommends an extension be granted until August the 9th, 2017 board meeting or the date of the next meeting of the board thereafter should it not meet that month unless settlement is reached prior to that time.
All right. Staff has made a recommendation on this waiver. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item
6.
Six.
It's a request by Lobo Operating, Inc. for a waiver of all or a portion of the liquidated damage assessments levied on the late release of the following state leases. A, $11,500 levied on late release of state lease number 21246 in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, and B, $11,500 levied on the late release of state lease number 21247 in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. Lobo Operating failed to timely pay the rentals for state lease number 21246 and 21247. Upon the advice of counsel, Lobo attempted to reinstate the leases with OMR staff in lieu of releasing the leases, which resulted in the late release period of 115 days. Lobo filed the releases when it became evident that they could not be reinstated. Staff recommends a full waiver be granted to Lobo Operating, Inc., as it's their first infraction as per criteria established by the board.
All right. I made a misstatement on the last one. I meant extension instead of waiver. I was ahead of myself. But is there someone here? Is there any questions or discussion concerning this waiver? I believe there is someone here representing Lobo, if they'd like to speak.
Good morning.
Morning.
If anyone has any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. I think.
Can you identify yourself just for the record, please?
My name is Roger Pecoraro. I'm a consulting landman for Lobo.
I'm guessing you agree with staff's recommendation?
Sir?
You agree with staff's recommendation?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Any questions or discussion?
Yeah, give us an explanation again why it should be waived, Mr. Fontenot.
Well, first of all, it's the first infraction. There's some extenuating circumstances that took place where there was a question as to whether the lease had expired or not, and I think that contributed to the 115 days. I think once some of the staff met with the Lobo representatives. They came to the conclusion that there was nothing we could do to revive the lease. It was dead, and at that point they complied with releasing it, and the 115 days occurred. And fortunately for them, if you so care to impose the criteria, this is their first infraction. And
so initially there was discussions to reinstate it, but then that didn't happen. So
they were of the position that they thought the lease was still alive.
Any other questions? Discussion? Mr. Arnold?
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to approve staff's recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second
by Secretary Harris. Any further discussion or public comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
The motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number 7 is a request by Shoreline Southeast LLC Shoreline for a 6-month extension on the authority previously granted to Shoreline at the February 10, 2016 board meeting to escrow royalty payments related to title disputed acreage within state lease number 21436 situated within the NRFSUA, the L Discorbus 12 RASUA, and the Discorbus 12 RESUA units in the Bastion Bay Field, Blackmans Parish, Louisiana. Shoreline Southeast LLC is in compliance with OMR's deposits and SR9 reporting requirements for escrowing authority, but negotiations are still ongoing and additional time is needed. Staff recommends that the board approve the request effective June 8, 2016 through January 11, 2017, or the date of the next meeting of the board thereafter, should it not meet that month.
All right. Any questions or discussion on that item?
Motion to approve the extension.
We have a move by Mr. Arnold to approve the extension of Shoreline Southeast LLC. Do you have a second? Mr. Hollinshead, seconds. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comments? If not, all in favor? All opposed, the motion carries. Item 8, I believe, is a report.
It is a report to the Mineral and Energy Board by our Assistant Secretary, David Boulay.
Okay.
Thank you, Emil. Members of the board, look in the back of your form there in the packet. You'll have the updated minutes. Which was emailed out this morning. The main two issues are detailed here relative to assignment, as well as the discussion on audit was updated per Mr. Hike's request in the minutes. And I thought it was a very good effort that went approximately from 130 to 450. A number of industry participants, I might note Paul Provenza here, attending today's board meeting as well as LOGA, and as well as other members of the public. So I think we're coming very close to summation of the lease form. We spent many hours prior to the subcommittee meeting reviewing and correcting some inconsistencies in the document, which are minuted here, and we reviewed in the subcommittee meeting on Thursday, July 7th, and we hope to have a revised lease form with amendments, corrections to send to the board sometime later this week.
It was a very good meeting, and we seem to have been able to bridge some differences. I know some of the lead negotiators have been the law firms that Ms. Nicholson and Nicholson Mr. Smart are with, have they been given these changes or discussions? They are nothing against them, but they are lawyers, and so they may be a little more meticulous or about some of the provisions or changes that we talked about, you know, which may then slow the thing down again. So.
Well, certainly, you know, the public meeting was noticed, and I guess they chose not to attend, but certainly our intention as OMR is to complete the revisions,
right,
and put it up for on the website for public comment, and I feel very good about where we're at as a department currently, and reviewing many changes that occurred to the draft lease form in the last 6 months.
Well, and I know they represented industry and maybe some of the groups that were there, so it's one thing having the layman group say, yeah, I agree, but it's another thing having your lawyer say, well, yes, but this. So that's why I was wondering if it had been given to them.
Well, the final edits are not complete.
Okay.
Thank you. Barring any unforeseen comments or new issues popping up, when would you anticipate that a version of the lease form would be ready for staff recommendation to the board?
Well, depending on one more meeting with the lawyers discussing some language in an article, I would say that we should be in a position before the end of this week with a draft lease form with current changes noted, prepared for approval in the August meeting, I would hope.
There was also some discussion on the deep rights. Is that, did we make a decision if we were going to pursue investigating some possibilities with that and including it in this lease or not? From the staff standpoint, I'm just asking.
Well, certainly from the staff standpoint, we made a commitment in the subcommittee meeting that we're going to continue to research it. We feel that it's important to the state. We have personally noted to Mr. Hike that I would hope that we could do something within 6 months of having proper policy thought through that would not inhibit economic stimulus, but incentivize. So we've got to be very careful. Louisiana has significant geology differences compared to some states that have not very, I think, detailed policies on handling deep rights. And staff continues to do the work. You have a couple of pages right up from Mr. Miller, who's our point person within geology and engineering. There's a lot of issues to develop something that would be proactive, and in the current lease environment, I would say that I don't believe coming in with an amendment 6 months, 8 months after we approve the lease form, I hope in August, would be an appropriate method for us to pursue.
Mr. Jim?
Mr. Hike?
Mr. Boulet, did you say that the minutes of the subcommittee were amended pursuant to my request by email yesterday or this morning, whenever you all got
I it? Sent you an email addressing the two issues that you requested.
Okay, so the minutes of the subcommittee were amended to reflect that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you said that. I don't recall any decisions being made at the subcommittee meeting. What I do recall is that we did not have the language, the necessary language, as it related to assignment, correct? There was no decision made on assignment.
No,
assignment language, correct?
Let me first say that the lease forum subcommittee meeting was strictly an informational meeting.
So there was no decision made?
No.
Subcommittee did not make a decision.
Correct. The language that was put forth by Mr. Falcon was the language that we have come up internally that we feel goes as far as the law, per our comments in the lease forum meeting, allows us to go per Louisiana statute, and the board is free to amend our comments as you so choose.
And there was no decision made as related to audit or record retention or the methodology of price fixing. Isn't that correct?
Again, I will restate that it was an informational meeting and no decisions by the board was done. By the subcommittee. It was merely to re-review the staff's efforts to, if you would, clean up the document, make sure it read what we wanted it to say, and remove some of the inconsistencies which we described in the last Mineral and Energy Board meeting in June.
And there was no decision made about language that was directed towards deep rights. Is that correct?
The current lease form, while it does designate that the state reserves the right to limit a lease to a depth, does not have a deep rights clause per se, as I believe you're pursuing. And per previous comments, we are working as a staff diligently to ensure that we develop the proper policy and future amendment, which I believe we made a commitment to you on.
And I appreciate that and I understand that. And I have to also echo the thought that, you know, I thought the subcommittee meeting was very informative and I appreciate it and I thought we got a lot of good information from it, but there was no decision made at these at that subcommittee meeting. And I'm not convinced that we should rush into a new lease form without resolving these issues in a debate forum, if you will, among the members of the Mineral Board. That's just my feeling about it, and you know, the decision of the board will be made with regards to where we go from this point forward. Personally, I don't see where there's the necessity to rush in to adopting a proposed lease form. We've been working on this for 2 years or so, and there's still some issues out there, Mr. Secretary, that have not been resolved. Yes, we made some progress at the subcommittee meeting. Yes, we had some very good exchanges about some of these issues of assignment and deep rights and record retention and audit and the methodology of pricing, but we didn't come to any decisions. And I would like to see this board look at all of those issues separately at some point in time so we can have a better idea of where we're going in this whole direction before we adopt a proposed new lease form. To me, this is the most significant decision that this mineral board will make, at least as long as I've been on the mineral board, because this is going to affect our state for many years to come.
Mr. Secretary.
Thank you. I agree with you. There needs to be opportunity for discussion. I think the subcommittee meeting was very helpful. What I'm anticipating is that the board and everyone else will have an opportunity to view the staff's recommendations, read the document for themselves, and certainly in this format, possibly as soon as the next meeting, but if not the meeting after, you and everyone else, every other board member, will have the opportunity to offer motions to amend that recommended language.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, while we're on the lease itself, I'd like to make a motion. And my motion is that this board develop a special subcommittee of its members dealing with the issue of audit, royalty changes, and record retention, and that we request, or in this motion, I would request that we name a chairman, and my recommendation would be Mr. Watkins, who's a CPA, to be able to chair the special subcommittee and review those particular issues that I have just enumerated and give us a report as a result of the findings of that particular subcommittee, and that's my motion.
Let me ask, you're certainly welcome to have a motion on anything you want, but do we need to do this because it's not on the agenda, this audit issue as a new business item?
No, it's part of the lease discussion. We're talking about the lease, so I'm making a motion as relates to the lease and the issues that relate to the lease.
Jim? I'm
the auxiliary parliamentarian.
Yes.
Because Ryan's not here. You can certainly.
I'm just saying, do you need to have a vote on the item?
I made a legitimate motion.
Yeah, I think you might want to wait until the board meeting, maybe bring it up now and discuss it now and then vote on it in the general board meeting. But
under new business?
Yeah.
Well, we can do it that way or we can do it now. Either way, it doesn't make any difference. I just thought that because it relates to the issue that is on this agenda, I mean, that it's germane, right?
Yeah, I think you certainly could say this is the committee's recommendation to the board that they consider that motion.
So
but he wants to have a subcommittee. He wants to create a subcommittee to discuss these audit issues. Relate to the lease, but
as a separate note, this is due to previous board actions. This is the last meeting we have with committees.
Right.
As of the next board meeting, the board will act as one entire committee. So
right.
There'll be no more committees after this meeting. I'm not sure.
We established standing committees of some sort, or special,
which is what we're trying to get rid of to make a more flowing and easygoing meeting.
Now, I could see a problem with this not being on the agenda for this committee, but certainly open to discussion and relevant to an item.
It's germane to the issue we're discussing, is it not?
It is. I'm just wondering whether a decision can be made.
Why don't we do it at new business?
Yeah.
So, does it matter?
Well, I'm going to call for a second at this moment in time. I just think that is germane to the issue.
You can also add an item if it's unanimous.
Add an item to the legal committee.
I don't think, sir, it's germane to this issue. It's on the agenda of this particular committee discussion, and I would ask if there's a second that we move forward with this discussion.
I'm just curious, we already have a lease form subcommittee in place.
Yes, but there was limited participation at that subcommittee meeting, as you well pointed out in your email. So I'm asking for a special subcommittee of the members of this board to look at the issue that I just enumerated and report back to us as to what their findings are on this one particular area.
What's the one particular area?
Special subcommittee. My motion is to establish a special subcommittee that will review the issues relating to audit, royalty changes, and record retention, with a special request with this motion that Mr. Watkins chair the special subcommittee and report back after their findings as to what should be included in the language as it relates to those subjects.
I agree. I think it's germane to the items that we're discussing now. I'd rather see us actually meet as an entire board with just the subject of the lease. Nothing else. A separate board meeting just for that, for the entire board to come, and we can advertise that correctly as well, and give Mr. Watkins the task of reporting back on those issues.
What's that now?
Have a separate board meeting just for the lease review. The entire board. Only thing on the agenda is lease review. Mr. Watkins can make a presentation on those issues you just discussed.
Well, my motion is clear. My motion is clear.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a second, then we'll vote on it, and they, you know, we may go to your resolution. But my motion is clear, and
I'm offering a substitute motion.
But my question is, can he have a motion on an item that's not on the agenda?
It's germane to the
germane to the. It's germane.
I think
to
we both agree on that.
But it's not on the agenda.
It is on the agenda. It's germane to the issue on the agenda.
Please review
it's,
is on the
it. It's related. It's well, not
it's,
the
it's
item.
It's germane to the issue on the agenda, Mr. DeVitt. You just said that.
Germane. It is related, but it's not the item.
Well, of
which
course
is a report.
I have a comment. I'm a little confused. Didn't we do the same thing last month?
I believe it was during a regular board meeting.
Yeah, to form the subcommittee. How did that get formed?
I formed it during a regular mineral and lease sale.
Okay.
We're doing legal title as well.
So, you're Mr.
Correct.
Hike, I think is he asking to do the same thing that was done last month, a different committee?
With one exception. And the exception is that we'd be limited to members of the board.
The entire board, correct.
Be limited to a subcommittee of members of the mineral board to conduct a separate hearing, if you will, and receive information with regards to those issues. That's my intent.
So what you're saying, so I'm looking for guidance here on procedure. I'm not opposed to him.
No, correct, and my substitute motion was to hold a separate, since it would be the entire board anyway, to hold a separate board meeting to discuss just this issue.
That's kind of what he's saying, is have a committee of the entire board.
Is the attorney still here? Maybe he can answer and clarify that.
Here. Sir.
Is your attorney here?
Yes. The problem that we run into in this situation with the subcommittees versus the board is because of the sunshine laws and the open meetings law. And in particular, any time that there is a quorum of the mineral board assembled in a room to discuss items that they have jurisdiction over, that's technically a meeting of the mineral board.
Right.
So that has to be noticed, and it has to have it's subject to open meetings.
Right.
The subcommittee, if there's a quorum, it's technically not a subcommittee anymore, whether or not they're actually participating or they're in the audience. That's why we have to make these meetings very clear that if there are non-subcommittee members attending the subcommittee meetings that are on the mineral board, they have to sit separately. It has to be very clear that they're not participating in their capacity as mineral board members at the subcommittee meeting. So it would almost behoove you to meet as in the entire mineral board rather than to have a subcommittee that has a quorum by chance that is in all, for all intents and purposes, an actual meeting of the mineral board. So it should be noticed as it should be noticed correctly and that sort of thing, just to comply with the open meetings laws.
But what you're saying there is correct, and I don't disagree with that. But that's only if, in fact, that subcommittee is a quorum of the board.
If a quorum of the board is present, correct.
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 But a subcommittee could be formed without a quorum of the board, have people come before that subcommittee and properly advertise, et cetera.
Correct. Correct.
Just like the legislature
correct.
Does, right?
Correct.
And then make a report to the full board.
Correct. Correct.
And that'd be permissible.
Correct. And it's permissible to have a subcommittee with a quorum as long as it's noticed
properly
technically
noticed.
As a mineral board. Correct.
And so that's what my intention is, to have a subcommittee made of members of the board to address those issues that I've enumerated and make a report back to the full board. If the entire board wants to be part of that subcommittee, that's fine.
Okay. So With all that said, I'm going to allow Mr. Hike to make his motion and see if there's an entertainment of a second.
I believe the substitute motion goes first.
Okay.
And the only reason I made a substitute motion is because if we make a subcommittee of the entire board, we still need a quorum.
Okay.
To hold a subcommittee meeting.
What is your substitute motion, Tom?
It is to hold a special board meeting with the sole intention to discuss the purposes that you have.
But you also had to instruct Mr. Watkins.
Well, Mr. Watkins to make his report on those issues.
That he would investigate it.
Correct.
Okay, let me ask you this question before I...
I'm just trying to change your motion to take from the entire board.
Before I make a decision on that, if you don't mind me asking you this, and that is, would it be anticipated in your motion that the board make a decision, right?
We could make a decision.
Could make a decision. Would it be anticipated in your motion that there could be individuals outside of staff to make a presentation regarding the issues that I've just enumerated?
During public comments, yes, sir.
Then I withdraw my motion.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll second your motion.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Hike withdrew his motion, so Mr. Arnold has a motion, and it's seconded by Mr. Hike.
Correct, and to call that meeting prior to the next board meeting.
Correct. And that Mr. Watkins would chair that meeting.
Mr. Watkins would.
If he so agrees.
Mr. Watkins can make the presentation of his findings. How's that?
Understood. You empowered him.
Presentation of your findings.
On your motion, we're assuming that this would all be done within the next 30 days prior to the next board meeting. Is that your assumption?
If you're comfortable with your findings, yes, sir.
I would not want to commit to having it done within 30 days. I'll do my best, but it's going to be dependent upon other parties and industry response and so forth.
I would also add to your motion that we'll meet prior to the August board meeting, if possible. Due to it being summertime and vacations, it might be difficult to get a quorum of the board here on the same day between now and the August meeting.
I can tell you, for instance, I'm going to be out of state. I've got a family vacation.
Well, why don't you empower them to do it, and then when they're ready, they can, or you want to give them a date?
No, I'm agreeable to as soon as Ms. Watkins has the information available.
Okay. All right.
It's agreeable, Mr. Sorry.
Motion and second. Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hike. Agreeable by Mr. Watkins. Any further questions or discussion? Anyone? Public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Got another motion.
Okay, Mr. Hike.
Similar to this motion.
Motion sickness.
Similar to this motion, as it relates to the mineral board sitting, in global, if you will, to review the issues relating to deep rights, with the specific chairman of that hearing to be Mr. Hollinshead, so that we can get a full understanding, the full board can get an understanding of the issues that relate to this particular issue.
So right. What you'd like to do is actually charge Mr. Hollinshead with the deep rights issue.
Yes, sir.
Charge, as we charge Mr. Watkins with the accounting and the royalty issues.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We can.
Mr.
Hollinshead accepts that.
Yes, no problem. So will we have a problem amending our previous motion to include that?
Not at all. I think it should be a separate.
We can do it a separate meeting, issues, I believe.
Separate issues, but they could hold it on the same day if they wanted to.
Right.
Correct. So at the same meeting, I would hope.
So this original amended.
No. I think it's necessary that it be two separate motions, and if they want to get together and have that all on the same day, that's fine. But I think it has to. If we're talking about separate issues that are very significant to the lease, and so my thought is that it should be separate motions, basically to accomplish the same thing.
I think we need to ask Mr. Linto, too. Once the board has voted on a particular motion, can we go back and open it up, or should we just proceed with a new motion?
Yeah, I'm not sure of. I'm not sure.
Well, we haven't approved it yet at the regular meeting yet as well.
Yeah.
I think it should be a separate motion, but it's the same intent. The same intent, though, Tom.
I think separate would probably be the best.
Okay.
So you've made a motion?
Yes.
Do we have a second to Mr. Hike's motion?
I'll second.
Mr. Arnold seconds. Any comment or discussions? Any public comment? Mr. Theophilus?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pat Theophilus, owner, president of Theophilus Oil and Gas. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend y'all's meeting. I was invited. I would love to participate in it to kind of hear what everybody was saying. I just want to remind y'all, just please, please be very careful in approving certain items as well as this lease form. It's very, very critical to the state of Louisiana as well as for the employees and the overall economy, I can pretty well assure you. You know, it's just funny. I'm sitting here, I'm listening to everybody trying to compare us to other states. When I was part of the Mineral Board, I remember other states contacting my office, personally speaking to me, and saying, Pat, how are y'all handling this? My gosh, y'all got a program that's just unbelievable. You know, y'all bringing in all the substantial revenue to your state of Louisiana. You know, please, you know, let's meet together. Let's try to decide. Let us kind of get an idea of what we can do to improve our state. Now it's just the opposite. Now we're looking at all these other states. You know, we're kind of counting on them and what they're doing. But keep in mind, like I'm telling y'all, and I have looked and I have reviewed with some of these states as well, as far as these rentals, this state, you know, as far as our rentals are concerned, is one half of the cash payment for your annual rental, which really just continues adding up, adding up, and adding up. And keep in mind, too, it's your smaller companies that brought this program back. I was here in the 80s. It was horrible. It was unbelievable. But I can pretty well assure you it's worse now than what it was in the 80s. So just all I ask is please, please, please think this stuff very, very thorough. That's all I have to say.
Thank and you would agree that we should take our time
definitely
developing the language that goes into the new proposed lease.
Definitely.
And receive information from folks like yourself as it relates to these issues.
There's no doubt, definitely. And that's why I'm saying, please just keep in mind, be very, very, very cautious. Because once you approve this, it's going to be hard to go back and make any additional changes.
So I mean, I know that we're at many of the different meetings we've had in the past with regards to changing the lease, and we've come a long way, wouldn't you agree, with regards to the language in the new lease?
Definitely, and there's no doubt as far as some of the items. You know, these forms are going way, way back. But again, what is kind of surprising to me is hearing us, you know, compare the state of Louisiana to all these other states. And in the past, it was the other states were asking us for suggestions and ideas. And I'll still say to this day, we have one of the finest mineral programs with the SunRus program, which I was very blessed to play a huge important role in the development of that. But again, you know, we have so much to offer, and, you know, we just need to work together. Everybody just needs to work together on this.
And you'll have an opportunity now to be able to talk and address the issues of assignment and transfer and record retention and audit and deep rights, et cetera. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Having the opportunity to interchange with the board before we make a decision on the new lease.
And
right?
I'm not an attorney by no means. And a lot of people think that, you know, with my knowledge and everything, and I tell them point blank, I have no attorney. I don't claim to be an attorney. You know, I've been very fortunate with the knowledge that I've gained throughout the many years of this program. And all I'm saying is, you know, we need to all try to work together. That's the main role.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that. We want everybody to have an opportunity to be heard on these issues before we make a decision on, as you say, a document which is going to be reflective for many decades to come.
Thank you, Pat. I agree with your comments 100%. I really appreciate you stepping up and giving us your thoughts. I've been here 3-4 months, and you know the context, Mr. Hike, by which we're moving, it was to there was four main issues I recall 3 months ago, and those four main issues delineated down to two main issues: assignment and audit rights. And with that, we've met with industry numerous times, as mentioned in the last lease form, mineral board meeting. And so with the discussion, we came back to a point of a subcommittee to finally look at the entirety of the lease, ensure that the wording of the lease was where we felt it was best, and take the inconsistencies out of it. And certainly our intention is to put a draft lease form out for public consumption. And but if we're going to start looking at other articles and bringing more into this, I'm all for it. I just want to remind everybody, as Stacy did, you know, it took us 3-4 times to try to pull together our subcommittee meeting, which finally came together last week. And my concern is that we'll continue to work on this, despite I think it was this board saying we have four issues, let's move forward on those. I'm a believer in getting it right. If there's concerns in the lease form as it's published, hopefully this week, I'd like to work collectively as a team. It's not staff versus the mineral board or industry. I want us to work collaboratively together to find any issues remaining in the lease form that gives the board members concern, that gives industry concern, and as well as staff, so we do have a good document to work through going forward. Amen.
I'd like to make a comment.
All right.
Mr. Boulay, I compliment you on finding some of those inconsistencies, and I compliment you on pointing those out at our special subcommittee meeting. The reason I made the motions that I did is because not every member of the mineral board was at that meeting, and I think that there should be a full discussion by members of the mineral board before we make a decision on the proposed new lease. And in my mind, there should not be an action by the mineral board until these special subcommittees meet, discuss, ask folks to come before the mineral board that may have varying opinions, and then we make a decision, because these two subcommittees that were established by this motion, these two motions, deal with some significant issues. And personally, I don't know how anyone else feels, but I am not going to vote on a proposed new lease, I don't care how many times it's published, until such time as the full board has the opportunity to fully discuss the issues that are part of the subcommittees which I just made the motion for. I don't think that's appropriate.
I don't think that ever was the intent at all.
I understood it was the intent that he was going to publish the proposed lease and bring it before the board for action. I hope that's not the intent.
Well, I believe we're publishing the proposed lease so industry can look at what we discussed at the subcommittee meeting and what was presented by staff, so they can come back and actually give their opinions and ideas for changes, just as Mrs. Theopolis.
And if that's the case, then I don't have a problem.
I believe that was our intention the whole time.
That's the point. Work together.
Pat, thank you. You know, we've working through this, and it's taken a couple of turns, but what we want to do is, as in any lease or contract agreement, we want to make a new lease agreement. For obvious reasons, but we want to make it fair for the industry, but also make it fair for the state. So it's not a good agreement unless it's fair for all.
For both parties.
And so there are a lot of different people involved in trying to put this together. We made a lot of headway the other day. Hopefully we're narrowing the gap. There are a couple of more issues that we maybe need to consider. The board will make those decisions. And but
well, my door
let's,
is always
let's incorporate
open.
Some of the changes and whittle down to a draft that we hopefully will push forward with these other considerations. And certainly this is a public process, so everyone will have a chance to
And my door is always open to any of y'all should y'all have any questions or need any assistance or guidance. But thank y'all. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. I believe we had a motion and a second on the floor. Any other comments or discussion? Public comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. All right. Are we finished with the review, Mr. Devitt? Ms. Boulay, I'm sorry.
I believe we have.
Okay. All right.
Then we move to item 9.
Okay. Item 9.
Item 9, 10, and 11 will be discussions in executive session. Item 9 is with Boland Demand regarding Section 25, Township 14 North, Range 11 West in Red River Parish, Louisiana. Item 10 is a discussion of the Bundrick demand regarding Section 25 and 36, Township 14 North, Range 11 West in Red River Parish, Louisiana. And item 11 is regarding ongoing discussions with the disputed landowner ConocoPhillips, successor to LLNE, as to title disputed acreage within state lease numbers 724, 21150, 21152, and 21157, situated within the SIPCORS RASUA unit, Four Isle Dome Field in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana.
I make a motion to go to executive session to discuss items 9, 10, and 11.
I'm sorry.
Made a motion to go to executive session.
Mr. Arnold made a motion to go into executive session. Do I have a second? Second by Secretary Harris. Any discussion or questions? Public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're in executive session. We'll be back shortly.